CIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint, a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program, in which we try to criticize movies with religious and spiritual themes. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers, as always, Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah. Brother Yasser, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I was pleased to be with you, Brother Muhammad Jawad.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the studio again.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me as always.
You're welcome. And it's a pleasure, actually, to have you back in the studio, helping me criticize a couple of movies which are related to religion or with the theme of religions and spirituality. And one of those movies that we are going to, in fact, criticize is Ouija, Origin of Evil, produced in 2016, directed by Mike Flanagan. Before we start criticizing this movie, let's take a short break, and then we'll be back with the program and with the help of my guest speakers, criticize this movie. Don't go away.
Let's begin. We invite you into our circle. If that's you, give us a sign.
This is a scam.
We do not attack the clients.
We help people. We give them closure.
You are so weird.
Does she have a lot of problems?
It's nothing too concerning.
What's this?
A Ouija board for work.
Spirit, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Who are you talking to?
What?
Back to the program. Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers, Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah. Well, Sayyid Abdullah, let me start with you about this movie. In fact, this movie is about a widow and her two daughters using a Ouija board to help people move on with their lives. They interact with a spirit, but are unaware of the fact that it has possessed Doris, the youngest daughter. This movie features a couple of actors and actresses, such as Lolo Wilson, Elizabeth Reeser, Annalisa Basso, Kate Siegel, just to name a few. And, Rotten Tomatoes gives this movie the approval rating of 84%, IMDb 6.2 out of 10, and the box office for this was $81.7 million, although the budget for this movie was ranging between $9 and $12 million. Let's talk about this movie. How did you like it? And what's a Ouija board?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm not very, very fond of these kind of movies where they summon a spirit, because the idea doesn't go through my head. Nevertheless, the movie was okay. It was, if you're into horror movies and trying to scare yourself, it does a job, I guess. And considering that it's box office success,
yes,
compared to its budget, it done all right. So it had that dark theme to it, and that possession and exorcism and whatever you call it. So, like I said, it's not my cup of tea, but it was watchable to a certain extent. I didn't mind it. So I would definitely give it like 3 or 4 out of 10 mm-hmm. because I'm not into the genre. The Ouija board is something that's been used for a long time, I think over 100 years now or yes. so, where there's a board where it's you know, you put a triangle and then people place their hands and then the board itself moves to the letters mm-hmm. and then you have to spell them out because apparently
there's a planchette.
Planchette. So the spirit's supposed to be talking to you. And it's been used in the public culture for a long time now, where people try to communicate with spirits.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Syed Abdullah. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back and pick Brother Yasser's brain too for this movie. Stay with us,
Daddy. Are you there? Who are you?
Your sister's taking you to school today.
I don't want to go! I'm gonna stay here and talk to my friends.
What friends?
I'll show you. Are you here?
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Syed Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers, helping me criticize the movie Ouija, Origin of Evil, produced in 2016, directed by Mike Flanagan. Well, Brother Yasser, let me ask you about the Ouija boards. Where does it come from? Where does the idea come from? Do you know anything about the history of the Ouija boards?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I can't say I do. It may be a medieval instrument that was probably used during the time of, you know, witchcraft or satanic kind of rituals. Maybe it's a way to kind of, like you mentioned in the movie, a way that communicates with a world beyond the physical realm. Mm-hmm. Again, a realm within the physical realm, but that's beyond our kind of sight, our physical sight anyway. One thing that is also interesting is that it's something that obviously over a period of time has continued, wherever it's come from. So therefore, in order for it to continue, it must have shown results. If somebody says that, okay, you know, this worked, or it can work, or it has worked, therefore it shows, okay, if it has a continuation, it shows that somewhere down the line it worked, or mm-hmm. gave results, or whatever it may be.
You mean it survived the test of time?
It survived the test of time, basically, yeah. Because it showed results, right?
Exactly.
If it didn't, okay, you know, throw it away. Also,
but there could be like rumors around.
Rumors around it, you know, maybe things written about it, they may not have been true. Exaggeration, mm-hmm. again, the actual mm-hmm. history behind it, I wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. But there's also another thing that is important that. We've spoken about this previously as well, is that within the world of creation, there are also forces that kind of push these demonic things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, I think one of our previous things, the book of Diablo, for example, we kind of discuss, does such a book even exist?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Can we just deny it because we don't know every knowledge of it? No. So there are obviously...
With the movie The Ninth Gate,
something.
With Johnny Depp.
Yeah, so things like this, for example, you know, is it a tool that these forces or these evil forces within the world of creation gave to human beings in order to kind of move them away from their ultimate and obviously mm-hmm. Purpose of creation.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. Like.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Brother Yasser. Let's take a short break and take a listen to a part of this movie, Ouija, Origin of Evil, produced in 2016, directed by Mike Flanagan, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Viewpoints, a movie critique program on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Something is happening that we can't understand.
I'm concerned about your girl.
What's this about, Father?
What are you doing? I'm not doing it.
The spirit world is dangerous.
They were watching us all those years.
By using the board, opened up a portal.
Back to the program, Viewpoints, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers, Syed Abdullah and Brother Yasser, helping me criticize the movie Ouija, Origin of Evil, produced in 2016, directed by Mike Flanagan. Sayyid Abdullah, you know, in the approximately early part of this movie, there's a conversation within the family members that use this Ouija board, and the whole movie is revolving around this family. They are talking about actually a priest that is going to be actually introduced into the movie, right, injected. And they talk of the priest as not being allowed to marry. Is there any reason for the priest not to marry at all?
According to the Roman Catholic Church, they have this celibacy vow where a priest are not allowed to marry.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the church itself, the Catholic Church, they said that the priests, they need to at least in their lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
they need to resemble Jesus Christ himself, because Jesus was unmarried.
Yeah.
So the priest needs to be unmarried, that's one. Two, he needs to devote his life to the church. So based on that, the church themselves, they set a law that the priest must take a vow of celibacy, which means he's not allowed to get married. So if a priest takes a vow not to get married, then he has to obviously uphold his vow not to get married.
Is there any evidence supporting the claim, like Jesus was celibate?
We Islamically and even in Christianity, we do have the that Jesus alayhi salam did not get married, because mind you, like comparing the Christian faith to the Muslim faith, Isa alayhi salam is still alive, right?
Mm.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him. So at whatever years he lived, for 30 or so years on earth, I think
Islam says Jesus was never killed. Right?
Yeah, he was never killed.
They say that
he's alive.
Yeah, they say that he was crucified, and then on Easter Sunday, he rose again.
He was resurrected after three days of being crucified. So from an Islamic perspective, Isa alayhi salam is still alive. So for the 30 years or so that he lived, or he was amongst people before Allah took him up to the heavens, the conditions and the circumstances he had, I don't think he was, you know, able to get married. So he was single for that. And we have a hadith that says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw like a really massive wedding for Isa alayhi salam, where all the inhabitants of heaven will be gathered and they will celebrate for aeons, because time is not existence in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that, he never got married alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
So Christianity sees that as a way to to pass that doctrine of theirs, that Isa didn't get married, Jesus didn't get married. So the priest who serves the church must resemble Isa in this aspect of his life, that he didn't get married, so you must also
and
not get married.
This is a practice only common in Catholicism, right?
Catholicism. Mainly the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church mainly, the Roman Catholic Church mainly does that celibacy. And they make their priest take a vow of celibacy as well, not just the fact that it's you're a priest, you have to be like Jesus,
mm-hmm.
but also they force them into taking vows
mm-hmm.
of celibacy where they are not allowed to get married.
I see.
And that backfired at them, mind you, terribly.
I know.
Because
of the scandals, everybody has
this. Yeah, the scandals are still going. They're not ending. They just keep, you know, shoving it under the carpet kind of thing.
Okay, thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoints, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to criticize one of those movies with spiritual or religious themes, which was in this episode, Ouija, Origin of Evil, produced in 2016, directed by Mike Flanagan. Of course, we haven't come to the end of the critique of this movie, and hopefully we'll do that in the upcoming episode. Just try to follow us up to get the rest of this critique. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Want to hear something cool?
Sure.
Do you know what it feels like to be strangled to death? First, you feel the pressure in your throat. And you start to taste something very sour in your mouth. Then, it's like someone lights a match right in the middle of your chest. And that fire grows. fills your lungs and your throat and all the way behind your eyes. And the last thing you feel is cold. Good night, Romeo.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Gaza children lack access to health care and are not safe in the current unhygienic environment. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, displaced Palestinians seeking refuge in the southern Gaza town of Rafah find themselves living amid piles of uncollected trash as garbage trucks are rendered unusable in Israeli regime attacks and fuel shortages hinder regular waste collection, according to a report. Omer Mahmoud Al-Hendi, who fled from North Gaza, told the Anadolu news agency, "We can't sit in the tent due to the smell of the garbage and flies. Children can't sleep because of the flies. A solution needs to be found to this garbage crisis." Hendi said, among family members, in addition to children, there are also the sick, disabled, and elderly. The garbage piling up among the tents and shelters creates an environment conducive to the spread of infectious diseases, said the report. Ahmad Davoud, who was displaced from Gaza City to Khan Yunis and then Rafah, noted that his wife and children were greatly affected by the situation. He told Anadolu, "The immune levels of my three children have decreased. My wife also suffers because part of her liver and spleen have been removed." Pointing to a pile of dirt, Davoud said, "This is just a small pile you see. If the municipality hadn't come yesterday to collect the garbage, it would have reached here." Another Palestinian, Abdul Khadir Ahmad, displaced from Jabalia refugee camp about 5 months ago, highlighted the sewage flowing between the tents. He said, "We are ending very difficult conditions here during the winter. There are many children in the tents, and these children are at risk of many diseases, including hepatitis, intestinal and respiratory diseases. The children here lack access to healthcare and are not safe in this unhygienic environment." He stressed that the tents do not protect from illness and cold, nor provide a humane living space. Husni Mohenna, the Gaza Municipalities Union Coordinator, told Anadolu that municipalities in central and southern parts of Gaza are unable to provide basic services due to the increasing number of displaced people. Mohanna said services such as garbage collection, sewage disposal, and water pumping is greatly affected by population growth and fuel shortages. Mohanna noted that municipal teams are struggling to cope with increasing garbage piles in Rafah and Deir al-Balah. Roughly 1.5 million Palestinians are sheltering in Rafah, many of whom were displaced from other areas destroyed by the Zionist regime in its ongoing military assault on the besieged enclave. As the Zionist regime continues to vow to press ahead with the ground invasion of Rafah, the Secretary General of Doctors Without Borders, Christopher Lockyer, warned last month that clearly any ground invasion into Rafah would be an absolute catastrophe. It doesn't bear thinking about. It would be disaster upon disaster. Palestine Chronicle spoke to Al Ashqar family, who are sheltering in Rafah in a camp where there is little food and even fewer supplies. Currently on trial before the International Court of Justice for Genocide Against Palestinians, the Israeli regime has been waging a devastating war on Gaza since October 7th. According to Gaza's Ministry of Health, 33,175 Palestinians have been murdered so far and 75,886 wounded in the Zionist regime's ongoing genocide in the enclave. Moreover, at least 7,000 people are unaccounted for, presumed dead under the rubble of their homes throughout the Gaza Strip. Palestinian and international organizations say the majority of those murdered and wounded are women and children. The Israeli regime aggression has also resulted in the forceful displacement of nearly 2 million people from all over the Gaza Strip, with the vast majority of the displaced forced into the densely crowded southern city of Rafah near the border with Egypt. In what has become Palestine's largest mass exodus since 1948 Nakba. Meanwhile, Middle East Monitor wrote, Palestinians who have started living in tents in Rafah, in southern Gaza, after fleeing Israeli regime attacks, are facing the risk of outbreaks due to uncollected garbage. Palestinians in Rafah live amid trash piles as garbage trucks, rendered unusable in Israeli regime attacks, hinder regular waste collection due to fuel shortages. Trash piles among the tents and shelters create an environment conducive to the spread of infectious diseases due to the foul odors they emit and conditions for the formation of pests. Mahmoud Al-Hendi, who migrated from Sheikh Redwan neighborhood in northern Gaza to Rafah, said the current conditions are not suitable for human life. Hendi said among family members, in addition to children, there are also sick, disabled, and elderly individuals. Also, another Palestinian who migrated from Gaza City to Khan Yunis and then to Rafah complained about the garbage and sewage waste issue. He noted that his children and wife were greatly affected by this situation. He said the immune levels of her children have decreased. Another Palestinian, Ahmad, who migrated from Jabalia refugee camp about 5 months ago, drew attention to the sewage waters flowing between the tents. Ahmad stated that these waters caused children to become ill, saying, "We are enduring very difficult conditions during the winter. There are my children in the tents, and these children are at risk of many diseases, including intestinal and respiratory diseases." He stressed that the tents do not protect from illness and cold and do not provide a human living space.
Recently, the boastful Israeli military suddenly withdrew almost all of its forces from Gaza over 6 months after launching a bloody but futile war in the hope of eliminating the Palestinian resistance there. The timing is interesting, though. This happened at a time when not just the entire Israeli-occupied territories, but all other Tel Aviv-linked centers in the broader region and beyond have been gripped by sheer panic over possible Iranian retaliation against Israel's deadly act of aggression on Tehran's diplomatic mission in Damascus. In the wake of the Israeli aggression, Iran was quick to promise a response that would make the regime regret the criminal attack, as put by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, in a Hebrew tweet. That made fearful Israeli settlers storm ATMs, supermarkets, and other stores to buy essential wartime supplies. The regime also evacuated its mission in several countries and put its military on high alert. With all eyes on Iran to see how it will react, let's have a look at the history and roots of Iran-Israel tensions in a nutshell.
Since the Iranian nation's Islamic Revolution in 1979, the US and the Western powers have kept up a campaign of economic pressure and military threats against Iran in an abortive attempt to stop the Islamic Republic from pursuing its two fundamental ideals in the region, putting an end to US and Western imperialism in the region, as well as the occupation of oppressed Palestine by their puppet regime, Israel. Seeing Iran as a threat to its illegitimate existence in Palestine, Israel has traditionally relied on all-out support from the US and its other masters, whereas the Islamic Republic benefits from its own growing military power and the public opinion in the region in favor of Iran's lofty ideals and against the Israeli occupation.
The Israeli regime has, in the past decades, resorted to US-backed wars, assassinations, ethnic cleansing campaigns, in parallel with more and more land theft to consolidate its occupation. Tel Aviv has also posed overt military threats, even including a nuclear attack threat against Iran. This is while observers believe Iran has played chess with the occupying regime much more intelligently. Tehran has always maintained that it will never initiate any attack against any party, but at the same time, it has always displayed its full military readiness to retaliate against any Israeli act of folly through various direct or indirect means.
Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei has previously warned Israel openly that the Islamic Republic will not hesitate to raise Haifa and Tel Aviv to the ground in case Tel Aviv makes any foolish move. With the guidelines of the leader in the confrontation with Israel and its allies, the Iranian military has always worked tirelessly to build up its combat readiness, including by developing its own military hardware. No need to guess who Iran's defense might is aimed at when one sees various ballistic missiles, drones, or other pieces of Iranian-made defense equipment. Several of them feature Hebrew messages of destruction to Israel or names supporting the Palestinian resistance against occupation. Just recently, Iran unveiled a state-of-the-art drone named Gaza in solidarity with the residents of the blockaded enclave, which have been the target of a shocking Israeli massacre.
An example of Iran-Israel confrontation was the proxy war that the US and its allies joined forces to unleash in Syria in 2011 to unseat the elected government there. Israel, backed by all its regional and extra-regional allies, did everything in its power to bring about the collapse of Damascus, ranging from direct attacks to supporting anti-Damascus terrorists. But it failed to do so only after Iran stepped in and helped Syria get rid of the mercenary militants. Angered by the big Iranian win, Israel still keeps launching air raids in Syria from time to time, including the recent one that targeted Iran's embassy in Damascus.
Iran has not yet responded to Israel's attack on its embassy. Some try to attribute that apparent inaction to what they claim to be Tehran's fear of further escalation, but the history of the confrontation between Iran and Israel seemed to be reflected more precisely in a recent article by The Cradle. Iran's regional policy was beautifully described in an article by The Cradle. It explained that Iran's apparent restraints in the face of Israeli aggression should not be mistaken for weakness. Iran steadily applies pressure on Tel Aviv through its own methods, setting the stage carefully for Israel's unraveling. The article likened Israel to a frog that is being happily boiled to death by Iran as part of the Islamic Republic's long game of reaching strategic objectives.
It remains to be seen how Tehran will respond to the recent Israeli act of aggression on its sovereignty. In general, it seems that the Iranian establishment has the full support of the public opinion in the country for dealing a stinging blow to Israel. But one thing has been repeatedly proven true about Iran. The decision makers in the country will never base their moves on sensations or Israeli-provoked media frenzy. War is grinding on in Gaza. Now almost 33,000 Palestinians have been killed at the hands of Israeli soldiers. Over 75,000 others have been wounded. Most of the casualties are civilians, men, women, and children who are non-combatants. If the Israeli soldiers are fighting the war, which by the way is basically against the civilian population, the war itself is not Israeli only. So many components of it are in fact American, everything from military gear to missiles and fighter jets. In this episode of In a Nutshell, we're taking a look at why it would be wrong to call the war on Gaza a merely Israeli one.
The United States used its veto power at the United Nations Security Council 3 times to keep the war going. A first draft Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire was vetoed by the United States in October of last year, when the war had just started and the civilian fatalities were only beginning to mount. The pretext for killing attacks, as offered by U.S. Ambassador to the UN Linda Thomas-Greenfield, was that the draft did not mention what she called Israel's right to self-defense. By then, over 3,000 Palestinians had been killed.
Weeks later, on December 8th, when 17,400 Palestinians were dead, the U.S. rejected another Security Council resolution that had aimed to mandate a ceasefire in Gaza. Another U.S. diplomat said that text was rushed and ignored U.S. demands in what was being branded as an Israeli war.
And on February 20th, when another draft resolution was killed by the U.S., Thomas Greenfield claimed a ceasefire would have jeopardized ongoing U.S. activities to halt the war. Of course, the war was not halted as a result of any U.S. activities. It raged on because of them. Meanwhile, more Palestinians were being killed, uprooted, forced to live in squalid conditions, and the humanitarian crisis was only growing.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has made several trips to Israeli-occupied territories, claiming that he is working to bring about a ceasefire. His latest was scheduled to take place soon. While the U.S. has a pretense of working to stop the war, everything it does only prolongs it. What the United States has been doing more rigorously in the meantime has been to lubricate the Israeli war machine by constantly replenishing the Israeli arsenal. US-made military hardware has been making its way into Israeli hands. That contradiction has not been lost on the world. Even the rather Israeli-friendly Palestinian Authority has spoken out. The PA has called Blinken's activities failed diplomacy and has said it is buying Israel more time to kill. Israel is, quote-unquote, welcoming Blinken to Israel by plundering more Palestinian land in the occupied West Bank, the PA has said. This is while Israeli strikes on Gaza have not slowed down a bit. One recent strike killed 7 staff members of the charity group World Central Kitchen. The group said it was a targeted attack. A brutal raid on Al-Shifa Hospital, which is Gaza's largest medical facility, has left it in ruins. The Israeli military has ordered hundreds of patients, medical staff, and people sheltering at the hospital because their homes have been bombed to ruins to evacuate.
Days ago, the United States approved the transfer of a new massive package of weapons comprising of bombs and fighter jets to Israel that is worth $2.5 billion. With support from the U.S., the Israeli regime has been able to carry out what is essentially an American war, even as Israeli soldiers seem to be fighting on the ground. The U.S. military-industrial complex is expected to make infinite profits in that time span as an American ally purges occupied land of its original inhabitants.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
نقيم الدين ولا تتفرق فيه.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
وبالإسلام دينا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
In the name of Allah, Salaamun Alaikum to all of you, and thank you for choosing this episode to listen to. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We are going to speak about what after the month of Ramadan.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال.
But first, we'll look at the calendar. Today, Friday, 3rd of Shawwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Calendar, and the 12th of April, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. We listen to chapter Ankabut from the Holy Quran, verses 2 and 3. Then we'll learn about the important points of these verses.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ahasiban nasu an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun.
Do the people think that they will be left to say, "We believe," and they will not be tried?
وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ.
But we have certainly tried those before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, and He will surely make evident the liars.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Some people may be in some environments which are polluted from any point of view, and the temptations of making mischief surrounded them. Their great trial is that in such conditions they protect their own purity. A group may be involved in the pressure of deprivations, while they see that if they agree to exchange the capitals of their noble selves, their poverty and deprivation will quickly disappear, but this is for the price of losing their faith, piety, and honor, and this is their trial. Another group may be enjoyed of affluence. Do they try to fulfill the duty of thanksgiving?
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Anwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. شكرا يا رب يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا رب يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
What after Ramadan? The month of Ramadan has come and gone. To many, it's one of the fastest periods of the year, maybe because of fasting within the twinkle of an eye. Ramadan is no longer with us. Do not be sad that you are losing track of the good deeds you've successfully established in the month of Ramadan. Also, hyperactivity will get you overwhelmed, which will make it hard for you to continue. The best is to strike a balance by being consistent even with a little effort, no matter how small. Moderation is very important, and you should never overburden yourself, as the Prophet Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny said, Do such deeds as you can do easily, as Allah will not get tired of giving rewards until you get bored and tired of performing religious deeds.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, what is our best duty after the holy month of Ramadan? What are the most important duties of us after the holy month of Ramadan? Our main duty after the blessed month of Ramadan is to preserve the achievements of this blessed month, just as the Most Holy Divine has commanded all of us to guard our prayers. In discussing the duty of those to fast after the blessed month of Ramadan and preserving the achievements of this blessed month, it should be stated our most important duty after the month of Ramadan is to preserve the achievements of this blessed month, just as the Most Holy Divine commanded all of us. You should guard your prayers, حَفْظُ عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ or عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. The same command applies to fasting. These are mentioned as examples, not as specifics. Meaning, if the Quran says to be vigilant about your prayers, it does not apply only to prayers, but one must be vigilant about worship, so that this worship has its special effect, because the prayer or salat is the pillar of religion. It is mentioned regarding prayers, حَفْظُ عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ, but fasting is the same. We are obliged to be guardians and protectors of our fast. For the dear youths, preserving fasting is not very difficult. That we be guardians of our fasting, and that is to fast 3 days a month, the first Thursday and last Thursday, and the Wednesday in the middle of the month, based on مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. If someone does a good deed, Allah gives 10 times the reward. If someone fasts 3 days a month, 3 times 10 becomes 30 days, as if they have fasted 30 days, this becomes part of Sa'imud Dahr. If we preserve fasting throughout the year, in reality, we are among the guardians of fasting and the guardians of the blessed month of Ramadan.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, every day for 15 minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love.
In this part, we're speaking about essential tips for life after Ramadan, being constant remembrance of the Day of Judgment. There is nothing more humbling than constantly remembering the Day of Judgment for Muslims. The Day of Judgment is not hearsay. It has been fully recorded in numerous prophetic sayings in detail. Remembering the Day of Judgment is vital throughout the year, even after Ramadan. Constantly remembering the Day of Judgment automatically forces us to be better Muslims, to be more conscientious of our deeds, to take more care in our behavior, and to be wiser in our speed. A reminder of a temporary life is a good reminder that just like the month of Ramadan that passes each year, our lives are also temporary, they pass. So while we love Ramadan for all its blessings, we need to actively work on our lives to have them showered with blessings as well. This is the only way to attain paradise, the most sought after resting abode in the hereafter, and to attain such pleasure would be to engage in good deeds.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you to told you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are alive. You guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong at night. Well, but often lies, cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Ramadan is just the beginning, and this is today's special. If a Muslim continues to display positive changes after Ramadan, this is not only a possible sign that the fasting has been accepted, but also a sign that a new habit has been formed. During Ramadan, we are continuously doing our best to make positive changes. From the early hours of the morning as dawn breaks until the later hours of the evening, we carefully schedule when we will eat, pray, and perform our tasks. We are more conscious of time and of our behavior. Some people start to be efficient with time management and know the time of Maghrib dawn to the minute or second, even though they used to be heedless of that before Ramadan.
Dunya. See, you need these reminders. Set up reminders for yourselves. And then create a system, surround yourself with good people who always remind you of these qualities. One thing I invite the Shabab to do is have sleepovers. Invite your friends, your cousins, your family members. One Saturday night, pull an all-nighter. Discuss the lessons that you learned in the month of Ramadan. Discuss something good. Bring the coffee, bring the s'mores, of course the halal s'mores. Because most maraji'ah, they say, you know, the gelatin may not go through full transformation. Bring that, have a nice night, but discuss lessons from the Qur'an. Go around, what did you learn this month of Ramadan from the Holy Qur'an? Share with us a beautiful lesson, a beautiful verse. You know how much barakah Allah puts in sessions like that? The angels, they come to such sessions. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam states, Wallah inni la uhibbu tilka al-majalis. Al-Imam al-Sadiq says, I love such gatherings in which the name of God is mentioned, in which the teachings of Quran are discussed and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt are mentioned. You're having a good time with your friends and you are worshipping Allah in the best way possible. Have sleepovers with your friends and discuss the valuable lessons that you've learned. This is a great way to continue the spirit of the month of Ramadan.
That was all for today's. We leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
Ya Rahman, Ya Razzaq, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Wahhab, Ya Wahhab, Ya Tawwab. Ya Rahim, Ya Aziz, Ya Sami', Ya Basir, Ya Latif, Ya Khabir.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.